Morning, ladies and gentlemen, or excuse me, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's Monday, June the 22nd, 2026. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and I have Professor Joe on with me, and he brought us some really excellent subjects that people need to know about living in these end-time prophecies that we're in, that I believe and he believes, and greater Israel, quote-unquote, is part of the problem. And this American Jewish lobby, which is controlled basically by the APEC directors, Larry Mizell and Norman Brownstein in Denver, who took over from my ex-father-in-law, Leonard Millman, the fallen angel possessed. Now, Mizell is the fallen angel possessed, one of the 12 disciples of Satan, and they performed a human sacrifice yesterday on the 21st, starting at midnight, at the old Navari down across from the Brown Palace Hotel. They're going to be in town for 2 days celebrating and so forth. And Mizell's got a place down there, a condominium high rise in Cherry Creek, just down from Cherry Creek Mall that Millman had built. And he took over one of the presidential suite or whatever on top. And they hold parties where they're having sex with kids and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Now, I have a an audio I'll put up underneath this with Anton LaVey. Church of Satan, Hotel California, the song. Anton was castrated at the Kimball Castle, and they left him there to die, and some security guard took him and dropped him at the emergency room at the hospital outside, and they healed him up. But he's got a book out. I've had him on interviewing, and he mentions Scott Millman, my ex-witch doctor's brother, and how they were thrown in the big tunnel underneath Millman's house for being bad boys and wouldn't let him have sex with him. Anyway, with all that crazy stuff said, we're on the second day of the summer solstice, aren't we, Joe?
Yeah, we are, and this will be the concluding day, because usually 2 days before and 2 days after, you can still do the rituals.
So they're doing them at Cherry Creek, down there in Cherry Creek Mall. There's a big high-rise condominium and an exclusive subdivision that Millman built right behind it with gates and everything. Some big houses. He built himself a new one and came off a number one U door and put it down there. But anyway, with that said, Joe, where are we at in things?
Well, that's about it right there. This is the age of what we call the age of Aquarius. In other words, that's the celestial kingdom. Not to be mixed up with astrology. This is a means by which God has his kingdom. His kingdom is also not only this earth, but the universe and all the solar systems.
But didn't you say
all of the intergalactic stuff?
Didn't you say the age of Aquarius started around 2012, I believe?
Yes, it is. That is correct. That is when they brought in. And by the way, that alien contract came to an end on 2012.
Yeah, the 1952 to 2012 alien agreement, and as Otis called it, with the NSA, and John Lear's dad built the 150 flying saucers for the U.S. government, so does Lear jets, and that was from that alien technology that came through Adolf Hitler that they got from the German scientists, etc. But so they've been around a long time, folks. Thousands of years, and they're controlling mankind. Now, I'll let you pick it up, Joe.
Okay, what he's talking about is that things are timed. There's the universal time throughout the universe, then there is Earth time. Both of them are important, because then there can be no progress with our reintegration from the fall. Okay, now there was the world before the fall. This is when men walked with the gods. And you go to Genesis 6 and read how the angels came down and lusted after the daughters of men and created men of renown and giants. And that was the beginning of the fall from grace, if you want to call it that. That's Christians understand that. So this entire show that has been going on for ages ages, not just 6,000 years, ages. And it is redemption of mankind. That is the meaning of Jesus Christ's crucifixion. It was to be able to man to be more easily redeemed. Jesus the Christ was the Redeemer. And to set that all up, it began with the house of Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob. And from there came the three houses out of of Noah, and out of Noah came the three houses of Ham, Japheth, and what's the other one? I'm forgetting here, Stu. The house of Shem. And that we have today are Jews. They are not Hebrews. They do not come out of the house of Shem. We do. That is why the United States became the New Jerusalem. Forget about what the dispensational said. The United States is the house of Jerusalem, or rather the city of Jerusalem. And that comes out of the prophecy given by Jacob the man, called Israel, had a son named Joseph, and Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And if you read Genesis 8 through 22, chapter 48, it will tell you that prophecy of these two men, Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim became England. The United States became Manasseh. That's why you have the two obelisks, one in England and one in the United States, in New York City, called the Needles of the Roman, can't think of the name right now. Anyway, the brain's not working too well today. So anyway, you have Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh became the New Jerusalem. That is why you had manifest destiny going from the east to the west. And that way, then the United States should really be said with a small u, united with a capital S, states, which we call states' rights. In other words, each of the states would become a republic. It was not supposed to be an empire. And that's why you have the president, the executive, and then the judicial. That was the only way to handle power. The power was to lie at the state, not Washington, D.C. incorporated. In other words, they incorporated, they made the United States title become a corporation, which is located in the mall in Washington, D.C. So what we're having to do is to go backtrack to that time of when the United States was called United States, not of America, but in America. And there's a big difference between the two of them. And manifest destiny includes also the importance of the Mormons. Now, I know there's a lot of Christians out there that get upset with the Mormons, but the Mormons were necessary because without them, the United States would not be settled from east to west. There was a wilderness. And so with how then you have the counter argument said that Joseph Smith did not tell anybody what to do after his death. But in the Book of Mormon, they found an original copy, and it said, to men, to go meet the men in the mountains of the west. That is why Brigham Young took his flock and went to what is now Salt Lake City. There were two other Mormon branches. One went up, I think, to Wisconsin. The other one went down to Missouri. So without the Mormons, there would be no United States. Yes, the Mormon hierarchy is corrupt. They are infested by the alien, fallen angel alien. And there were a couple of reasons why that happened. But there's a lot of individual Mormon communities that are straight-laced and straight ahead. And it's the same thing in the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church at the Vatican is totally corrupt through the Jesuits. Through the Jesuits. That's how the church became generally corrupt. So we have now a time of rejuvenation of to the original ideas that we are a republic, not a democracy. And every time you hear the word democracy, that means that person is a product of the fallen angel alien.
Yep.
Because our founders, George Washington wrote extensively, Benjamin Franklin wrote extensively on the corruption of a democracy. Democracies don't work. They're for gangsters. And so that's why you have the different mafias. Both the Cosa Nostra, as we used to call it, and then the regular Cosa Nostra Italians. So we're in an age now of Aquarius, and the characteristic of it is going to be everything is going to be revealed, and it will be at the time that people will choose who is your master on this day. And we can say then, you will have the choice. Which way do you want to go? Things are crumbling, but things are building up. Now let me say, one of the things that I have understood, even though Trump is owned by the Jews, who are not Hebrews, is being used, I believe, by God, because unknowingly by him, they can manipulate him. I'll say that again. Trump is really on their side, but they can manipulate him. So that's why I support Trump and say prayers for him, that he will survive the corruption. So as we progress through the year, it's going to come back. There's going to be much destruction, and hopefully we'll be able to get through to the other side and the doors break on through to the other side. So go ahead, Jesus.
Well, I think, you know, there's 3 or 3.5 years of tribulation instead of 7 years. That's my belief. And I've known Jesus for a long time. Oh, God, he started showing me the power of prayer in 1997. It's unbelievable, folks. It's unbelievable. But here's the deal. Is that all these preachers on TV, the Joe Epsteins and all them, looking, they're what, worth $2.5 billion or whatever it is. Look at what they're worth. Oh, we support Israel. We support Israel. Well, go ahead. You want to support the Antichrist? Go ahead. Because that's what it is. That's what Israel is. It's the Antichrist. The ones that declare themselves to be Jews now. Not what you were talking about, which is the Palestinians were the original Hebrews, as I recall. Good people. A lot of them Christians. That's the reason Bibi, the Netanyahu, is over there trying to kill them all. He's part of this Antichrist. He's 12 disciples of Satan. The 13th one is Baphomet, the goat-headed demon that comes up at their little parties like they're having in Denver, Colorado last night. And again tonight, crucifying an infant stolen from a hospital or nursing home or someplace where mommy just delivered the baby. Anyway, they're sick. They're psychopaths. But let's go past that. God showed me the power of prayer. Where two or more come together, I'm in your midst. It's by his blood. It's by his stripes. It's by him being nailed to the cross. It's him being crowned on the cross. Those thorns being stabbed, murdered, and resurrected. It's by him. He gives us the power and the authority. When two or more come together in prayer, he's in our midst. I could tell you stories about kids in Las Vegas that all had their prayer answered within a month. All of them. I said, if Jesus just walked through the door. And I was in there in Lisa, my friend's house, where we used to have prayer meetings on Saturday night. And she invited me over. Her husband had to work that night. But she wanted me to talk to her son and his 3 friends. She found porno and stuff like that underneath his mattress. He was 15. And he was running around with a guy that He was driving his mommy's Mercedes 17. He was the driver of these 15 and 16-year-olds. They were all buddies, went to high school together. And I felt the Holy Spirit after praying. By his blood, by his stripes, etc. And I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt Jesus come through the door. He says, I'm in your midst, too. I'm right here. Ask those kids, what would it be if Jesus was standing here and were to ask you for one thing that you want to see or have? And he'll answer your prayer if you promise him that you'll follow him from now on. Oh, they all looked at me and grinned and thought I was nuts. And Lisa sitting there wide open, boy, her eyes, she knew something was going on. And these kids, first one I asked him, what do you want? I forget the kids' names. I said, what would you do? He said, I want to see if hell is real. I thought, uh-oh. So I point to the next one. And that's Lisa's son. I forgot his name. And he says, I want a new pair of tennis shoes. I said, well, do you need the money for tennis shoes? I thought, you know, I'll come up with the money. He goes, no. He goes, I got plenty of money. I just can't find them in my size. He had a large feet. So I said, okay. And the third one, he says, I want the power of prayer. Or power of healing, I think is what he said. I went, whoa. Then the fourth one, let's see. He says, how was he phrased it? His parents were nearly getting a divorce because the father lost a job, high-paying job. And he lost his job. So he says, you know, I want my household to calm down or something like that. I said, okay, mom and dad's having fights. Okay, so didn't know what the story was. But it turns around, Lisa reports back to me that her son got a new pair of two pairs of tennis shoes. They went to a shop in Las Vegas, new shop, and oh yeah, we got them at our other store. We ship them immediately. He got two pairs instead of one. The kid, just before I said, okay, after I asked him, then I told him, individually pray. I know one kid, the first one, I wanted to see hell. He says, I changed my mind. I decided I want to see heaven. I thought, that's a good idea. So anyway, I made him pray, or I didn't make him. I asked him to pray, and they did, each and every one of them. And they asked for their requests. And I asked God to confirm it. Lisa confirmed it through Jesus. And it all happened. And the first kid, he saw the pearly gates. He said they were about 16 feet tall, all gold, gold sidewalk, all this stuff. And then the second one, he gets two pairs of tennis shoes. And the third one, the fourth one I hear later, that the father got a job within about 2 weeks after this happened. And he got double the pay that he was being paid before. And then the kid that said he wanted healing, the gift of healing. Lisa calls me up. She says, you can't believe what happened. I said, what? She says, I forget the kid's name. He come knocking at the door at 8 o'clock this morning. And she says, what happened last night? She says, her son fell. He was a break dancer. He dances around on his head. And he became a Las Vegas champion over it. Anyway, him and his buddies, a couple of them breakdancing. They had a huge living room. So two of them go in and do the breakdancing. And anyway, so he's doing breakdancing. And Lisa says she comes walking down the hallway out of the bedrooms and into the entry area. And then it goes into the kitchen and dining room, etc. But it passes the big family room, or big living room, huge room. Anyway, so she's walking by there, and all of a sudden, she hears a thud. She hears a thud, and she looks over, and her son's laying there, so she runs over to see what happened. Well, he was out. He knocked himself out, and a whole bit. Well, here's the story. The mother comes running in after she's screaming to mommy, call 911, and they get out there and everything. But just before they get out there, he gets up off the ground, and he's like, what happened? What happened? Well, the next morning, here's the kid that asked for the power of prayer and healing. And he's knocking on the door at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning instead of like noon, which normally he'd come over and they'd start getting together, the buddies. Anyway, he's knocking at 8 o'clock in the morning. And Lisa says, you know, I talked to him. And he says, oh, I got to tell you what happened last night, Lisa. He says, I saw you going by here on the hallway. And he says, here's your son. I forget his name. Laying on the floor, knocked out, and the whole bit. And you scream for your mom, dial 911. And he says, He says, I ran over immediately, and he says, I put my hands on his head, and I started praying for him, and then he woke up. That happened more than once with that kid. Now, we got a problem. You still there, Joe?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. You mentioned the Mormon Church. Now, it's kind of close to my heart for a couple of reasons. It's because Mitt Romney took over, basically, the Mormon Church, a senator or whatever he is. He's corrupt as hell. And his cousin is corrupt. He's an FBI agent that was involved in my attempted murder of car crash Rover and two others back in 2010 and 2011. The picture's on the bottom of my website. You can see the man all crushed up on my head and broke my neck to death. Anyway, he was involved, and I can prove that. Now, here's the deal. Mitt Romney's great-great-great-grandfather was a pedophile. And he had like four little girls between the ages of about 12 and 14 years of age, and three of them were pregnant. And this was out in Utah, Salt Lake City. Now, what's interesting is, and then my great-great-great-grandfather was Orrin Porter Rockwell. He was the U.S. Marshal for the territory of Nevada, California, Utah, New Mexico or something. I forgot all the territories. He was the head U.S. Marshal for those territories. He was quite famous. He was locked up in the Independence Jail where I used to live. Independence, not the jail, but in Independence. But he was locked up in there because he was accused of killing Governor Boggs of Missouri. And he proved his innocence after 14 months, and they released him. But he was still the U.S. Marshal, even after release. But he ran wagon trains, deputized people and ran wagon trains from over in Illinois, east of St. Louis, and would bring all the people that wanted to move to Utah to become part of the Mormon Church at the time. Now, he chased Mitt Romney's great-great-great-grandfather to New Mexico border. He couldn't go across. He was 2 days behind him. He was after the pedophile. Okay? Mitt Romney escaped to where? What was it? Chihuahua, Mexico?
Yep. It's outside. It's about 200 miles west of Chihuahua.
Okay. But they're known for this big drug hub down there. And I wonder how much of that was Mitt Romney involvement. Okay? But I know this, Mitt Romney's cousin, who was an FBI agent, I got sucked into painting Mitt Romney's, his cousin's house. Okay? And what happens? During that time, 2010, I'm having car crash rollovers. And he's got these goons from downtown Jackson County Prosecutor's Office running out of there. And they were doing hits on people. Now, we'll go past all that. But prayer. And you mentioned the Mormon Church. A lot of good Christians. The RLDS Church, the LDS Church, the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, all the churches. There's true believers and true prayer warriors among you all. It's a matter of standing up now and start doing it. I've gone into churches with, I forgot his name, he's a very patriotic, and he ended up getting a divorce because a Mossad agent infiltrated his family, him. And anyway, I went to church with him, and we prayed over a couple of people. One woman got up out of a wheelchair. I said, oh my God. The whole congregation was shocked and went above the preacher, okay? And that's what happens. Because the preacher wants you to come up there and give him money and, oh, come up here and I'll pray for you and everything's going to be okay. No, two or more come together and pray. Works. I'm just giving you a little power of prayer here because right now, what do we need to be doing, Joe?
All right, now, let me explain something here. Oh, let me interject something here. What Stu was talking about concerning the Mormon, it's the modern Mormon today. And the reason that the LeBombs and the LeBarons, not LeBomb, but the LeBarons and the Romneys went down and settled into what they call Ciudad Juarez. That's not the city next to El Paso. But what happened was is that the Mormons did not have enough men originally. And so they let men have multiple wives so that they could prosper. So in other words, it was a misuse of something that God let happen so that they could prosper. There would be other people. But that doesn't excuse it. But don't judge all of what the Mormons say concerning the country and etc. Because the thing of it is, without the Mormons, there would be no United States. Because when you went west, that was a long trip all the way from St. Louis all the way to the Willamette Valley. So the Mormons is where they could replenish with their stocks of food, and medicine, and other things to make it the rest of the way. Unfortunately, as in all things, things can turn sour grapes. That's why pay attention to what Paul says in Romans 8, 21 or 28, I can't remember which, where God brings good out of evil, and things work to good. So we have to be patient and strong, and remember, as we progress down this way, there's going to be the same thing where there's good, but God, in His way, in His time, pulls out the good and pulls out the good out of what was bad. And we want to keep that in mind as we progress. Now, we're going to have to bring this to an end, Stu, because of my throat is going out on me.
Okay, let me add something.
Go ahead and add something to what you want to say.
Okay, I believe that probably July of last year when we bombed the shit out of Iran, and Israel did. I believe that was probably the 1260 days of tribulation. There's a couple preachers out here that I want to get their audios, and so you know who it is, Alternity, the ones that are really telling the truth. And you've brought up, you've seen a couple of those videos, and you're in agreement. Now, the power of prayer can change things. So that means we got about 2 years left, maybe 2.5 years. And it's going to get really nasty. And I say this because these are the things that we're supposed to go through during the Great Tribulation. So if you don't have canned goods, stock up on canned goods. Start doing these things that you need to do, in a good can opener, you know, and a whole bit, a hand can opener. Start being prepared, because we're going to have food shortages. We're going to have all kinds of crap, because Israel's not through with us. And Israel is the Antichrist. It is where the devil is going to declare himself to be God, in their temple, wherever that is. And it's going to happen soon. And he's going to rule the earth, or he's going to try to. And a lot of things are, says 2/3 of mankind could die. Doesn't have to be. Prayer changes things. We have to get rid of the 12 disciples of Satan, and Satan himself, the Council of 13, that meet in Denver today, crucifying a little baby so they can have power and control, because of what's called the ley lines, which Jay Parker talked about, energy grids that run around the earth. It's very important that we pray against this stuff, folks, because if we do, things will change. Joe, you want to add to that before we close out?
Yeah, let's close out, but I'll leave you with all of that. The best thing that I've seen is, if you are Roman Catholic, go back to the Tridentine Mass. If you are an Episcopalian, go back to the 1928 prayer book, because those two ways are very powerful for those of you that are of that faith. And remember, Romans 8, 21 or 28 says, God brings good out of evil. Keep that in mind. That's all I got, Stu.
Okay, Joe, I thank you very much. Appreciate it. And ladies and gentlemen, you have a good day. Start praying, please.
Okay.